Thanks for downloading Scott Harold's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
Raising and instilling godly values in our kids growing up in this crazy world is not for the faint of heart, right? We're actually talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SOS Radio. He's a sociologist and an educator. I'll tell you what, you and your wife, Erica, founded 1M Mentoring Foundation. You focus on speaking to the next generation, and raising godly kids, and finding ways to mentor those that don't have moms and dads. How you doing today, Jonathan?
Doing very well. Thank you, Scott.
It's interesting when you think about raising your kids with confidence. This world's kind of scary, especially right now.
I know. It feels like a daily human experiment with my teenagers.
I know. We all feel like we're in the Truman Show right now. You're like, what's real news? What's fake? What's drama? What's sensationalism? What's amped up? And, you know, teaching our kids to discern truth is an important part of raising that confidence.
It is, and it's a repeat every day. Like you said, it's kind of like the Truman Show. When I think they've got it one day, it feels like we're right back at it the next. But that is good because we remember what we repeat, and we repeat what we remember. So day in and day out, teaching my sons, teaching mentors and mentees the confidence and capabilities they need to succeed, it's part of a gift of life.
So when our kids say, oh, I feel this way, or I feel like this sounds true, or you know what, my experience is, how do you sort of steer them back to there is absolute truth, even if you don't like it, son?
Right. Well, I mean, it's important to acknowledge that that's how they feel. And, you know, you really want to get in someone's face, tell them their feelings are wrong. You know, how do you disprove that way that they feel? But we can come back and say, I hear how you feel. That's got to be exciting. That's got to be frustrating. That's got to be scary. That's got to be, you know, some great anticipation you have right now. How do we then align that to what we can do? And I think that's where we find our truth, is what can be actually followed through with, actually done. I don't ever argue the feeling. We can kind of come back and negotiate and then point towards the truth.
We're talking about guiding our next generation. We're talking about leading our kids with confidence, and so they can actually become capable adults and they can learn to think. And that's one of the biggest parts about parenting. We're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SOS Radio. A lot of times as parents, we think about faith and we're like, I want to lead my kids towards God, but I don't want to force it on them. I'm afraid of pushing them away. But when we're leading in fear, we never make good decisions, Jonathan.
No, you're absolutely right. Think about the demands that come on in our life, the demands that face us every day, including raising our kids, and the demands that come facing us every day, and doing that in the context of faith and in truth. So if we're prepared, our brains do a really cool thing. They say, I can take on that challenge. So if the demand of raising a teenager, we feel prepared, we're doing it in the context of faith and goodness, then we'll take on that challenge. If we feel unprepared, our brains do something totally different. They say, oh man, I feel threatened. And that's where we hit the fight or flight mechanism. So as parents, one thing I'm doing on a regular basis is constantly coming back and saying, am I prepared for what my kids are facing today? Which means I need to become a student of the culture that they're in. It doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that they're steeped in the culture of adolescence today, but I need to be aware of it so I can prepare myself. So when something comes up as a compliment, I'm standing right there beside my kids. If it's a conflict, I know how to approach it in a way that isn't combative and pushes them away.
It's so interesting when we think about raising our kids with confidence, because there's so much coming at them and they feel more than they think sometimes. And we want to give our kids credit, but their brains aren't fully developed when they're 13, 14, 15 years old and they're facing adult decisions in a day where social media and TV is telling them this is normal and these are how things are supposed to be in regard to relationships and boyfriends and girlfriends and living together and culture and greed.
So think about the context of what normal is. And I know that you and I can have this conversation and say something is or isn't normal, but in their minds, if it's the norm, that's normal. And now they have to decide, what do they do with that? Do they err on the side of conservative? Do they err on the side of more liberal? Where are they going to take their steps? And this is a very interesting stage, man. In the mind of a 13, 15, 19-year-old, everything is now. Everything is in the immediate. And things have changed dramatically since we were that age. So what they see as normal today is much different than we see as normal today, but there is a way to navigate it side by side together.
We're rethinking how our teens become confident and capable adults, and we're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SOS Radio. Mission defines your why, and that's one of the chapters in your new book, Guiding the Next Generation, Jonathan. And when we think about where we want to end up, we know that we're going to end up somewhere, but not everyone ends up somewhere on purpose.
No, sometimes it's a total accident. You're right. So challenge 4 in the book, Guiding the Next Great Generation, is to live with purpose. You're right. Mission is a major part of that. Mission, though, is sandwiched in between vision and goals. So it's really vision, mission, goals. We talk a whole lot about what's your purpose in life, what's your mission in life. I come back and I back that question up a little bit and I say, what's your vision for life? Now, what's that feeling you get when you stand on your tiptoes and you're trying to see over the horizon, or you kind of twist your head a little bit like you're trying to peek around a corner? Because you can see it in your mind, but you can't literally see it with your eyes. And it's really hard for people to construct a mission and then the goals to fulfill that mission if they don't have vision for their life. So as I work with teenagers and young people and their parents and mentors or educators, I'm always asking the question, what's the clear mental picture you have of a preferred future? What's your vision for today? How about this week, year, 3, 5, 10 years down the road? Because if you can't see it in your mind, then we can't carry out with it. You know, scripture says, where there's a lack of vision, the people will perish. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be really good at seeing and communicating vision with clarity.
When we want to teach our kids to think, we might want to start by thinking about vision and mission and goals. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with Jonathan Catherman, and he's an author, a sociologist, and an educator. He wrote a book called Guiding the Next Generation. And as we were talking about our vision, our mission, and our goals, we got to think about how we set up our family. Because if we want to teach the kids to think, we actually have to have some values behind what we say.
Absolutely. And but we're back to challenge 2 in the book. It says, practice stewardship before leadership. So in our home and in our homes as parents, we need to be certain that we're modeling the behavior we want our kids to see. We often jump to the top of that pyramid, the context of leadership. I'm the leader of my home, right? Well, if I'm the leader of my home as a parent, how am I modeling what leadership looks like? And really that's called stewardship, responsible management, supervision, protection, what's been entrusted to our care. That's the daily thing that we do that maybe is observed, maybe it isn't, but we're doing the right thing. And so when our kids are observing our stewardship of, say, our finances or stewardship of our relationships or stewardship of our reputation, how are they seeing ways to say, okay, my parents said I could do that too. At least I gave it a try. I may not be great at it yet, but I want to be better. So we as parents have to model the behavior we're wanting our kids to function in. Not easy.
Absolutely. Our kids all think they have different experiences, and in some ways they do, but there is absolute truth that we can recenter them on.
When we bring them that absolute truth, and we say, we go to scripture and we show them the truth in scripture, and we say, now how does this calibrate your life? That goes back to the context of stewardship, right? Like a lens that they look through. If they don't pick up that lens and put it on, they won't see clearly. So we can point to truth as if it's like a pair of glasses sitting on the table. But until they pick it up and put it on and look through it, they might not see the perspective we're trying to give them. The hard part is you can't force your kids to do that. They've got to be the ones willing to pick up that lens, look through that truth, and see it for clarity that it is.
We're talking about how we raise teens to become confident and capable adults today with Jonathan Catherman. And he's an author and a sociologist. And regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or how you grew up, or how much money you make, we all have our fair share of challenges in life. And there's 4 specific challenges that you believe every person has to prepare themselves for, or you're going to get blindsided.
Absolutely. Challenge 1, build bridges between the generations. Real simply, as adults, we can't point across at young people and say, they're not doing enough to build in our direction, right? So we'll just camp out here and wait for them. We've got to build towards them. And as they build towards us, we'll meet in the middle. Challenge 2 is practice stewardship before leadership. Responsibly manage what's been entrusted to your care in a way that people say, how did you do that? Then you're being invited into leadership. Challenge 3, transform raw talents into valued strengths. We got to stop lying to our kids, telling them they're great at everything because they're not. And but identify what their raw talents are and help them maximize that into a strength, because it's for the strengths that they're going to get hired or the scholarship or take the next big step in life, not just for their talents. And last but not least, live with purpose, because that's the thing. When we live with purpose, we get out of bed each morning, put 2 feet on the floor and say, I can do this. No matter how demanding life is, purpose is the drive.
our kids' greatness, it starts with strategy and vision and purpose and having some values in our family system. And we're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SWIS Radio. And a few years back, you wrote a book called The Manual to Middle School. You wrote for your sons, and you wrote The Girl's Guide to Conquering Life and The Girl's Guide to Conquering Middle School. Let's talk about middle school. When our kids are going from elementary school into a new school where a bunch of other schools are fed in, there's a new group of students from other schools that they don't know. There's a few from the core that they do, and there's a whole new social dynamic that happens. For parents who have students that will be going into a new school this fall, what do you suggest they think about as they're navigating all the cultural and relational challenges that, you know, they're going to face?
First thing as parents we got to do is we got to eliminate a few phrases from our vocabulary, like, don't worry, honey, you'll do just fine. That's not what they're thinking, right? They're thinking they're going to implode some way, shape, or form in front of everybody. And this will be the most embarrassing moment of their life. You know, there are fifth graders now moving up into sixth, or sixth moving into seventh. You know, really, boys and girls want the same thing at that age, and that's to gain respect and avoid embarrassment. And so moving up to middle school is a tough go. It's one of the most volatile transitions in their young lives. So when we wrote the Manual to Middle School and The Girl's Guide to Conquering Middle School, we packed it full of 100 do this, not that survival guide tips. And they're hilarious. They've got great humor, illustrated by a comic illustrator, just really cool content, but all specifically designed so that they can gain respect and avoid embarrassment as they step on that campus and start figuring out that navigation of way to make it through middle school.
When our kids are young, our teachers do a lot of things for them, and then we do things for them. But then when they get into middle school and high school, they need to be a little more responsible. And some of our kids just don't gravitate towards that on our own. We're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SWIS Radio. He's a sociologist, cultural expert. When we want to speak life to our kids, when we want to motivate our kids to move forward and be more responsible, where do we start when our kids don't seem to do that on their own?
The best place to start is where they are. This is a really hard thing to do, because if I've got a parent listening right now and they say, okay, I'm going to listen real close because you can give me something I can take home and do with my kids right now, you got to press pause on that thought. When I say meet your kids where they are, if you want to help move them forward, it may take a little while to find the seed that they're really thinking on or the seed that they need to grow and mature in. When that is discovered, that's where we begin. We can't try to move them over to where we think they should be, because there comes some resistance there. Identify their current location. Do they have anxiety about classes? Are they concerned about bullies? Are they online too much and not in their homework enough? I mean, you got to identify their area of need and then guide alongside of them rather than kind of that sage from the stage. We all had those people in our life that stood up in front and told us what to do versus that one that came right alongside of you and said, you know, hey, you know, let's navigate this together and I can point you in some directions, but really the ultimate choice is yours. When they take our guidance and put it into action, they believe it was their doing. And in reality, it is. But we have to start where they are. The hardest part is trying to get them to where we want to be. So don't do that. Just meet them where they are. That's going to be a tough one for some parents. You have to slow down, listen carefully, have empathy of what it's like to be a teenager today versus it was back in the 1900s when we were teenagers.
There's a big difference between encouragement and praise as well, because a lot of times we think about what our kids accomplished and we say, hey, you did a great job on that math assignment, on the science fair project, you rocked that, or you know what, you've been working hard on the soccer field and I've been seeing all the effort you've been putting in. Like, we're citing something that they actually accomplished, but for our kids that are falling short or don't really have that work ethic and aren't following through and actually accomplishing the big things, our strategy should be a little different into encouraging their giftings and talents and speaking life towards that. We might get a little bit of a different outcome.
Absolutely. In fact, in the Next Great Generation book, I explain the difference between the talent and strength. And as I said earlier, we need to stop telling kids they're great at everything. We also need to stop saying, wow, congratulations, son, you're a really talented football player. Or congratulations, daughter, you're a really talented soccer player. Or, man, the way you play that instrument, you're so talented at guitar. No, they're not. And that's a weird thing to say, and even a harder thing sometimes to hear as a parent. What do you mean you're telling my kid's not talented at soccer? Yeah, I'm telling your kid's not talented at soccer. I'm telling your son or daughter's a talented athlete who is then trained into soccer. Soccer becomes the strength. Athletics is the talent. So when we're complimenting our kids or we're encouraging our kids, please focus in on the aspect, the essence, rather than the outcomes, because they will value that more. So if you say you're a very talented artist and really love the dedication you've put into learning guitar, that's completely different than say you're a really talented guitar player. Nobody's born a talented guitar player. It takes effort to become that. And they want to be recognized for both the essence and the effort.
You know, leadership's something that we're all called to do to some extent. I'm not talking about becoming the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, but leadership's something that's important in our family as parents. We're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SWS Radio. He's a sociologist. He's an educator. He's a culture expert. Actually wrote a book about rethinking how teens become confident and capable adults. And when we want to lead our kids, we have to have some strategy, but all strategy comes from instilling some values. What do you suggest we do as parents to figure out what our values are as a family before we can have something we want to replicate with our kids?
So I think it's a great conversation to have as a family. What do we value most? And I'll bet that some cores are going to be exposed, like time together, quality time together, not just time together. You know, it's got to be quality time together. Or listening to understand each other, empathy for one another. You know, sure, someone may say, man, I really love our boat, or I really love our game room or our pool or our, you know, these are all tangible things that go away in time. But what matters most is that the relationships and the core, the essence of which we have with each other. Now, if we're going to lead our family, that's where we need to lead from. To go buy a new cool toy for my family does not demonstrate leadership for my family. To guide my bride and my boys in how to show compassion for others, that's leadership.
We're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SWS Radio, and he has a brand new book. It's called Guiding the Next Great Generation, Rethinking How Teens Become Confident and Capable Adults. And quarantine and social distancing have focused a lot on physical health in our country, but as we're isolated, mental health becomes more of a challenge, and our teens feel isolated. You know, it's like all about friendships for them, right? We notice that when they don't want to hang out with the family and they just want to call their friends, or they're always looking at their phone because they're craving some sort of connection. And Jonathan, how do we speak to the emotional health of our kids when we think like, okay, maybe there's some isolation there. Maybe they're not feeling as motivated. Maybe they don't want to get up because they don't have a lot of things that they need to do right now. How do we cut through that so we can have some of those conversations and it's not just always awkward?
You know, I think every family is a little different, so there's no single answer, but I come back to what is it that we crave most as human beings in this context. You know, here we're in lockdown. We crave to see and be seen, to know and be known, and to love and be loved, right? So if they're not seeing their friends, they don't know what's going on, and then that emotional bond is lessened as well. So hence, they say, I'm talking to a friend, and you're like, you're not talking to anybody. You're on your phone. Well, to them, they are talking. They're seeing what's going on, right? They're texting, they're Instagram, they're on some type of FaceTime chat or something like that. But they're checking in, they're seeing each other to know what's happening. So how do we as parents encourage them to be more present when it feels like they're just being more, say, digital or distant? And I think we've got to do a little of what we're asking of them. So you know, when's the last time you went down and just knocked on the door or came in your kid's room and sat on the floor with them for a little while and just didn't have some agenda like getting the dishwasher unloaded or the backyard cleaned up? You know, just be present with them, see them and have them see you, see what's going on, what matters most. Get to know what is significant in their experience right now. The stress levels they're facing is different than what we're facing. We're worried about, you know, paying bills and the economy and keeping the family healthy. And they're concerned that that person that they think is so cute at school might forget about them or something like that. I mean, totally different deal. And or their teachers aren't posting the information they need in order to get the class schedule or get the classwork done correctly and get the grade they want. I mean, their stresses are as valid in their experience as ours, but they're different. So see, know, love. See and be seen, know and be known, love and be loved. Sit with them. Learn from them, be with them, model for them what it is as an adult we're hoping they mature into.
Yeah, you know what? And we have the time, so you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're never going to get this time back. Scott, the time I spend with my boys in this period was unlike any other time I've had with them and will probably have with them in the future. How do we maximize this? And a hard thing for some families is they're locked down with people they don't like. Right? We don't all get along with our kids. We don't all get along with our spouses. This isn't glory for everybody. And that's really hard. But how do we make the most of what it is we do have, the time we are given at this? That requires purpose and design. We can't go in this half-hearted and accidental.
We're talking with Jonathan Catherman today at SWS Radio. He's an award-winning cultural strategist and a leading education trainer. Thanks for sharing some of your time today. You can actually connect with Jonathan at thecathermans.com if you want to know more. Thanks, Jonathan.
Excellent, Scott. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.